They didn't give me enough time to get back on that side to shake hands, so I apologize. If I didn't shake your hand, I mean, I still love you. Well, y'all being that quiet, I don't know if I do or not, be honest with you. Hey, take your Bibles, go to John chapter 12. If you were here maybe a week ago, I'm not sure, but about a week ago, I was in the middle of a sermon, and I started preaching another sermon. Anybody ever been a part of that? I do that every once in a while. They call it running rabbits or, you know, going down trails or whatever. Well, I got into one, and I went there, and I started talking about Lazarus, about when Jesus was the resurrection. Do y'all remember? Is there anybody here remembers that? Well, I'll refresh your memory. If you don't, in John chapter 11, right before John chapter 12, where we're going to be this morning, Jesus was invited to heal Lazarus, his friend. Martha and Mary made the call, right? Come help, your friend's dying. But Jesus took his time. Amen. And they showed up what they considered late. And then I went into a thought that I can identify with all three participants. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Right? I can understand Martha's point of view really well. I'm an A-type personality. Are there any A-type personalities in here? What I call an A-type personality is a person who gets it done, right? You're always thinking of how you can do it better, do it. That's how you think about doing it, getting it done, right? Martha's an A-type personality. Every time in the Bible you find her, she's doing something, right? So I can identify with her. She was thinking more along the lines of, hey, I've made a prayer, I've made a request to Jesus, and he's not doing it. Even though every time Jesus has came to my house, I've done it for him. Anybody ever done that? Has anybody ever run their list on God? Run the list of things you've done or do or how you do it. Man, I wish if we had an altar call right now, would you be honest to come up and say, I've run my list on God? When God don't do something your way on your time, at the moment that you want him to do it, you go to talking to him about the things that you do for him. I hope I'm not the only one. And then I can identify with Mary. Not as much as Martha, but Mary. Mary's a worshiper. Mary can't help herself. When she gets in the presence of God, she loses control of who she is and pours herself out to God. Anybody in here like that? Some of y'all are shy. I know some of y'all are. Some people ask you, why do you cry every time? Why do you shout? Why do you run? Why do you praise? Why do you weep? Why do you go to the altar? Why do you sing the way you... Why? I can't help myself. Amen? Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't totally identify with that except the preacher in me. Amen? See, I don't have a switch that says preach, don't preach. If I start, I can't stop. Right? So when somebody says, what do you think about that? Be prepared. Because once the switch comes on, the switch don't go back off until the message is over. And I can't tell if that's going to be a 3-minute message or a 3-hour message. It's going to be what it's going to be. Martha's that way, Mary's that way. Once the worship begins, you can't just dial it back. You can't just say, well, I'll quit now. No, I got in the presence of God, and I can't leave until the presence of God lets me loose. Lets me, golly. I see some people in this crowd right now. You definitely identified with the A-type personality, but when I start talking about that side, you're sort of going, I don't know what that's all about. I wish we'd tap into that side more. Amen? Amen? I wish we'd tap into that side more. Where we'd lose who we are sometimes. Because I believe the American church right now is missing one great thing. A real pouring out of who we are and let God pouring into us. I believe the church today and everything we do, we are very, very sanitized. We are very about our business. How long is it going to be? 4 songs? 40-minute message? Will we beat the Methodists to church or to dinner? Amen? I don't know if we ever beat the Methodists to dinner. I don't know. Only on that side of the mountain. All right. Yeah, y'all get that later. Then I definitely can identify with Lazarus. Lazarus, it says, your friend is dying. Your friend. And I've preached this. I know y'all, some of y'all are remembering this now, but I know how men are. I don't know. Somebody said, why don't you preach more to women's issues? I do. I try, but I'm not one. But I am a man. Amen? And I know what men, I kind of know how we operate. And I can see Lazarus laying there in that bed thinking of all the times that he believed that Jesus was his friend. And there he laid, and everybody was praying. Everybody was making a big to-do. Somebody had sent for Jesus. But I guarantee you, Lazarus sat there and thought to himself, I thought we was friends. I thought we were. I probably could have done better on my end. Because I'm just going to go by Scripture here. When Jesus is spoken about with Mary and Martha, Lazarus is never spoken of until he is dying. When Jesus was first ministered to by Mary, y'all will remember this. Mary was cooking dinner and preparing, and she was going in and out. Y'all, can I preach a little? Y'all didn't just come to church to go back home, did you? Mary was going in and out of the kitchen, and she was bringing this and bringing that and taking this and taking that. And I mean, and she was working up a sweat and also an attitude. Have you ever worked up a sweat and an attitude at church? Amen. Hello. Have you ever gotten the mentality, I'm doing it all? And guess where Mary was? At the feet of Jesus. Just a weeping and a wailing and praying and making a show of herself. No, well, that's the way she's seen it. Amen? That's how we see it sometimes, right? Why do they do that? Why are they making a show? They ain't. They just can't help themselves. What happens when Mary is, she forgets who Jesus looks like and knows who he is? You want me to say it a little slower? She forgets what he looks like and knows who he is? Because see, listen, if God came in here and sat down and we knew it was God, our church service would look a lot different. Amen? I'll give you a glimpse into what it would look like. In heaven right now, there are angels, seraphims, what they call the ones of fire. Woo! Glory. They're circling. You might hear this again tonight. I believe they're called seraphims, the ones of fire, because the closer you get to God, the more you burn. Amen? That's why when you meet somebody who's really fired up for God, you say, man, they're on fire, or they're a fireball, because guess what? When you get the presence of God, you get the fire. Well, all of a sudden they got there and they're holy, holy, holy. Amen? That's what would be going on. If God sat in this place, we would realize if he was unwrapped and he was God himself, we'd all be on our faces weeping before God and say, man, holy, holy, holy. Right? Be a different. See, Mary couldn't help herself. Every time she seen Jesus, she goes, I God, wish I'd get with me right here. I recognize you. You're hiding good in that flesh suit, but I know you are. You're Jesus. You're God. And you're sitting here with us. And I don't know why everybody else can act so cool about it. Have you ever wondered why some people can act so cool in church and you're always a wreck? They're the ones with the problem. You're not. I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. But I could see him. That's how I would do probably. When I'm real sick or I'm real hurt, God, I'm really speaking to men this morning. I'm sorry. Some of you women can amen me right here when I say this. When we get real sick and we get real hurt, we become big babies. Thank you. Thank you. I thought you would. First unanimous amen by all the women in this church at one time. I didn't know it was going to come there, but we'll take it as way we can get it. I mean, we're tough, we're rough, we're rugged, but let us get a head cold. And all we want is somebody to bring us a sippy, right? All right. Y'all good? Just bring me a sippy. Just bring me something, right? That's what Lazarus rolls over against the wall maybe and says, are we friends? You've been a good friend to me, but I don't know how good a friend I've been to you. I'm sorry, but I would sure like it if you'd show up before I die. But he didn't, because God was doing something better. Hard to imagine God's doing something better when you're dying. The Bible says it this way, in the end times, you'll weep at a birth and rejoice at a funeral. Or we're almost getting there. I'm being honest with you, I love kids. Y'all know that. I'm a big kid at heart. But today when I go to a birth, I think to myself, what kind of world, what kind of America are they going to live in? You know what I'm saying? And then when somebody is passing on into glory, I think, man, I wonder what they're seeing. Amen? It's two different worlds. But Jesus said it'd be that way. Let's go to John chapter 12 where I can start the message. Yeah? Some of y'all came to that kind of church, and I don't want to apologize to you. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, y'all see it there? Then Jesus. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, I love this part, was which had been dead, whom he was raised from the dead. I can't wait till they say that about us. There they made him a supper. Dead people don't eat supper, but this one does. Then they made him supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. The two main characters in John chapter 11 are Lazarus and Martha. I want y'all to get that. They are. They've got more action parts in that scripture than Mary does. Okay? I want y'all just to hang on to that, okay? But it starts out with Martha serving. Amen? And I almost titled this message different, but I'm not going to. I titled this message, first of all, it is Shut Up. Shut up and serve. Amen? But I didn't. What I put it down is God is a God of do-overs. Amen? God is a God of do-overs. I know some of you, what I'm tempted to do in my flesh is say this, God is a God of second chances. Amen. Yeah, somebody back there's got it. More like multiple chances. Amen? So I'm saying that God is a God of do-overs, and some of y'all are sitting in a big do-over this morning. Amen? So guess what? God came along to Mary or to Martha and said, in John chapter 12, I'm going to give you a do-over. I'm going to let you serve without talking. Amen? Every time Martha spoke in the New Testament, she said stuff. She said to God, why? Right? And what? Right? What are you doing and why is she not helping? Two things you don't want to be marked in the Bible doing is asking why and what to God. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. So eventually, guess what? God gives her a do-over to serve in a way where she can just serve and be quiet. And you know what? I started to think there, and I want y'all to get this, and I really do want y'all to get this one. Because sometimes it don't just mean people who serve. It means people like me too. You know how many times I've preached a message, and during that next week have an opportunity to live that message out? But instead, I open my mouth and ruin the message that I preached on Sunday. Amen? So guess what? I can serve by preaching the Word of God and then shut my mouth and live it out. Or I can preach a message, then open my mouth and ruin the words that I said. Woo! Amen? You can ruin your service with your words. But God will let you have a do-over. Thank God. Amen? He will let you, if you're blessed enough to get a second time to serve with your mouth shut, you can be a real blessing to God and lay up treasures in heaven instead of putting your attitude and aptitude on other people. My. If I was in charge of this place, this is what I would do. If I ran Flat Top Church, this is what I would do. And if I was a pastor, this is what I would do. And if I was a singer, this is what I would do. Praise God. I wish somebody would give it to you just for about a month. We'd have to come find you. No, I'm sorry. I never say that to anybody. This is what I'd do if I was you. Man, I'm afraid God will do it. Martha had an opportunity to serve and be quiet and do it with joy and peace in her heart. And when you do it with joy and peace in your heart as unto the Lord, praise God, you will see something amazing happen. God will use your meager efforts, which are all meager efforts when compared to God, turn into something amazing. People will start to see your service and say, man, that's just like Jesus. And then I started thinking about Lazarus. His do-over was awesome because Jesus had never let Lazarus appear, even though they were friends, before the resurrection. Now Lazarus is sitting at dinner with him, and all he's saying is, Jesus, from now on, wherever you sit, I'm sitting. Wherever you go, I'm going. Matter of fact, I'm going with God, not because I'm a great person, but something great's happened to me. Let me break it down this way. Lazarus has such a powerful testimony, and some of you do too, that you don't have to say anything. You just got to keep showing up for Jesus. Amen? What did Lazarus have to say anything? Lazarus, golly, I wish I'd get this. Lazarus came in and sat down at the table, and everybody went, that guy was dead for 4 days. He stank. He's a dead man. Amen? So Lazarus, all he has to do is keep showing up where Jesus wants him to show up. Because guess what? Him just being there speaks. Amen? There's some of you sitting in this very room right now. Just you sitting here says, man, God's awesome. You don't have to do a whole lot. You ain't got to sing. You ain't got to do a sermon. Ain't got to teach a Sunday school class. Ain't got to do a whole lot of that. All you got to do is, man, if some people knew that you were sitting in this building right now, they would be, oh my gosh! God's a big God. And that's what Lazarus said. From now on, we're friends, and I'm going to hold up my end of the bargain. I'm just going to be there. You were there for me, and I'm going to be there for you. My do-over is sometimes you just got to show up. The devil will get in your head and get in your ear and get in your life and tell you it ain't important for you to show up. It is absolutely important for you to show up. Now let's get on to this person who was very limited in John chapter 11. Matter of fact, when she found out that Jesus was coming, she stayed at home. They said, hey, Jesus is coming. She knew what she'd do if she had ran out there. She couldn't help herself. So she bowed up. Anybody in here ever bowed up on God? Martha's like, let's go talk to him, sister. Amen? Martha was going. Mary's like, no, I'm going to stay right here. If I put it in my own terms, he can worship himself right now. We ain't never been there? He didn't do it my way. He didn't say my brother, and I worship him every time I'm around. I mean, I pour myself out, and I ain't going out there. He thinks he's going to get me. I'm going to do it right now. Right? But then when Jesus raised her brother from the dead, he says, you can have a do-over. She has the smallest part in John chapter 11. But look at her in John chapter 12. What she's saying here, she goes, I'll never do that again. I don't always know what Jesus is doing, but I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? In verse 3, then Mary, whew, hallelujah. Then Mary took a pound of ointment, a spikenard. Never mind. God. Nobody in here other than a kid, you ain't carrying nothing in here that's over a pound. Maybe a purse, I don't know. She come to worship, man. God, could you imagine if your worship cost a pound weight? You see, y'all ain't very much, man, just to worship. Huh? She entered a room with a pound of worship. She's coming to worship. Spikenard. Very costly. Cost her something. Amen? Do-over. Big do-over for her. Spikenard, very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus. She poured her very best on his feet. Amen? She said, if I get a chance, if I get a second chance, I'm going to give him my very best. He's getting the spikenard. He's getting the worship. He's getting the tears. He's getting my glory. He's getting my hair. I am not ever going to lose this opportunity again. Hey, some of y'all need to make up your mind. Hey, I didn't do it last Sunday. I didn't do it last Wednesday. I didn't do it the week before. But praise God, hey, he's given me a do-over. So I'm going to show out. Wiped his feet with the hairs of her head, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Her worship took over the room. So much that the devil got mad. That's what I want. I like when the devil's mad. I don't like it when he goes, man, they ain't really doing nothing. When you get the devil to speak, and that means you've messed with him. Let me say it again. Y'all didn't hear that. When the devil shows himself, that's when you're doing something. Some of us act like when the devil shows up, we're doing something wrong. We need to go back to sleep. But really what it comes down to, if you hurt the enemy's got to show himself. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, the devil's child, Simon's son, which is that should betray him. He did. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? I love it, don't you? Why you don't give that to Jesus? Why couldn't you do something else with it? Listen, everybody's got some kind of plan when somebody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing. I should let that just seep in and sit there for a while. The devil's very highly critical of waste on Jesus. You gonna waste all that on Jesus? You gonna waste your whole life on Jesus? I've had people tell me that. You give him your best, you're giving him the best parts of your life. That's a lie. Listen, I want you to know this. This is the farthest I'm ever gonna be from heaven right now. This is the shortest part of my life. Right now, I've got life and I've got it in spades. I've got life and I've got it in abundance. Praise God, one day somebody's going to say, you ain't going to believe this, Kevin passed away. That's never, ever, ever going to be the truth. I'll be more alive that day than I was the day before that day. Amen? As Christians, we need to realize we've got eternal life in Jesus Christ. We ain't wasting nothing. Only words I want to hear, period. Only words that we should want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Man, if I can get those, man, I'm good. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Openly. Verse 6. And he said, not that he cared for the poor, right? But because he was a thief. Whew. Man, God's more direct than we are, ain't he? He'll just call you on your stuff. And had the bag and bear that was that, and was put therein. What he is, he had that 30 pieces of silver he's going to betray Christ with in his hand. And God knew about it. And God called him a thief. And Jesus said, "Let her alone." Look, verse 7 is awesome, man. Well, do y'all know what she's doing? Mary's worshiping, Martha's serving, and Lazarus is being a friend. And guess what Jesus is doing? He's being an advocate and a savior. Amen. When the devil attacks and gets loud and starts roaring, you keep doing what God's called you to do and let Jesus defend you. Because Jesus is a better defender than you are. When you defend yourself, you lose yourself and your testimony. But when Jesus does it, it's pretty cool. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone." My goodness, ain't that cool? Let her alone. "Against the day of my burying has she done this and kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Woo! He said, "We'll see how your track record goes shortly after this. But I'm God. And I've got a purpose." Can I mix in right here and just preach a little bit to you on something? God is not an if or a maybe God. God is a prepared, pre-planned, pre-promised God. Amen? You know what He does? He has people that absolutely will show up right on time to do what He needs them to do no matter what. So if you're sitting there wringing your hands saying, "I can't get this done, we can't do it," if God told you to do it, if God is in it, it will be done. Nobody's anointing me, nobody's taking care of me, and I'm about to die. Nobody's prepared for it. But I do got one. Mary. Mary said, "I know you're going, I don't know why." Listen, y'all write this one down. So I'm going to help some of y'all right here. Come on. Stay with me. We're about 10 minutes out. Have you ever had God just press on you, don't know why? Say this, do that, give this, go there, something like that along those lines. You don't know why? It's like, oh, see, Mary was sitting there going, I'm getting a do-over, but this might be over the top. But Jesus is like, I don't know why, but I think He wants this pound of spikenard. I don't know why He wants it. I can't see the plan. I don't know why He wants it. But it's almost like He desires me to give Him this right now. Amen? In her do-over, she's helping herself, but she's also helping the plan of God. Oh, so she's like, okay, I'm helping myself because I get a do-over, but she's also fulfilling a plan or a promise that God has. God says, I'm going to the cross and nobody's going to be prepared to take care of my body and I'm going to need that prior to going. And she's coming to worship, but she didn't realize she was taking care of a function that Jesus needed to be done on the cross. Oh, my goodness. See, what she did is she anointed Him, and the anointing flows from top down. She poured it over the top of His hair and it run down His hair and through His beard. Amen. And down on His vesture. Amen. And down to His feet. And then she took, oh man, I'm. So she took her hair and said, let's not waste the oil. And that way when she went home, not only was the worship for Him, it was for her too. Amen. Maybe down the road, the worship you're giving today will help you tomorrow. Maybe the worship you give this week will help you next month. When you forgot how good it was, all of a sudden a fragrance will come and you'll say, oh yeah. Jesus on the cross, when the wind blew a certain way, somebody loves me. Amen? When the soldiers were down there gambling over that vesture, man, that's strong. Somebody loves Him. What'd they do with their do-overs? They've done a lot with them. So God sent me here to talk about one more character that was not in any of those stories. He told me to come here to talk to you. What are you going to do with your do-over? You A-type personalities. Are you going to serve better? You worshipers, are you going to worship better? You friends, are you going to be a better friend to God? And here's the most important ones. You people who keep coming to church wanting God to do something but never letting Him have your soul. You keep coming to church but you never give it all to Him. God keeps giving you a do-over over and over and over again saying, I want to save you, but I'm not going to steal your heart. You've got to give it to me. I'm not going to knock you down to save you. I'm just going to offer you a free gift. You've came to my sanctuaries. You came to my services. You've heard me in different places from different people. But I want to tell you this in Hebrews 9:27. This is your do-over moment to get saved. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. I hate to tell you this, friend, but everybody in this room right now has a running clock to an appointed date and time that you won't miss. That you won't miss. And God is stopping along the way of life often, 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 definitely this morning, going, here's your moment to be saved. Your clock's running out and you need me. It's an appointed date that you won't miss. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with this second or multiple chance to be saved? Let's all stand as they come get a song. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please, just for a moment. If God's dealing with your heart this morning about a do-over, will you please step out and come forward and pray? Come on. Come on.